Hello, it is March 17th, 2015. You are looking live at Athens, Georgia. This is episode, fittingly, 464 of the Will Leach Experience podcast on Sports on Earth. I am Will Leach, and I thank you for spending part of your day with me. The brackets are out, as you may have heard. I am, of course, referring exclusively to the NIT bracket. You're going down, Crimson Tide. But the term is out, and as I promised, we have Matt Norlander here to just go through the bracket. I'm assuming you, like me, just filled out the bracket first thing already, bam-o, like it was nothing, and have not given another second's thought. I'm sure you've done that, which is probably what you should do. But now, you know, perhaps, as we go through this bracket, as we will on this podcast, take your bracket and put it next to you and follow along. And perhaps I or Mr. Norlander, as we go over both of our picks for each game and the rest of the bracket, will convince you, will persuade you. We try to persuade you, and then you are convinced, if I may be schoolmarm English-wise. But anyway, so hopefully, at the very least, it's a big podcast about the tournament, so you should probably listen. We are going to have a big baseball preview next week. I'm going to try to get Joe Sheehan to do it. I haven't asked him yet. I've been kind of nervous because I haven't talked to him in a while. I think I'll still probably want to do it, right? Anyway, a big baseball podcast next week before we have a big Cardinals podcast, a.k.a. the podcast that everyone skips except for me and my friends, with Derek Gould the week after that. But right now, it's college basketball time, and we have the one guy to talk to about this stuff, Matt Norlander. All right, so first off, Norlander, we're not going to waste a lot of time. We're just going to kind of run through the bracket here, but I have to ask you quickly before we start. You have done, since it is currently, we are taping this at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday. It has been about 21 and a half hours since the about 21 and a half hours since the bracket came out. Have you slept? Are you like the Butler Bulldogs dog? Are you just going to like, just is all going to just come out of you at some point?
Oh, how
are
you hanging, man, in? I have slept. I probably got to bed at like 3:30. I woke up at like 7:30. So I got 4 hours. That's not bad.
That's not bad.
But yeah, no, you are obviously referencing the fact that I saw the Butler Bulldog go hard in the paint at the Big East tournament last week and vomit literally 20 seconds before they were going to tip. Like, it was just about to happen. They had to hold it. And Pete Thamel of Sports Illustrated was sitting right next to me, and we both actually were like taking a photo and getting ready, but his tweet wouldn't go through, and mine did. So then I was just kind of making fun of him for that, because it was one of those things where I was like, this is going to be so big, and it really was. It was weird. And yeah, I was on the vomit beat, because I was St. Patrick's Day weekend in New York City, so there was vomit in subways and trains, and everywhere I turned, people were just yakking. So it was a good time, and a great metaphor for the symbolism to come with my bracket, because it is a disaster.
I like the idea, though, that like maybe the dog had just been like out with St. Patrick's people all day, and that was just responding. Like, we'll look for him at SantaCon this year,
seriously,
and see how that goes. All right, so we're just gonna breeze through, and then we're gonna do our personal tradition that we do, which is we go through the NIT bracket, because every year we do this, Illinois keeps showing up in it. So, which is always nice. But so the idea now, as I said, you, like most people, and I talked about this on the last podcast about how, you know, particularly when you're a professional in this, the first thing you do when you get the bracket, you have about like 5 seconds to look at it, and then you sprint through it. So I always thought that, like, oh, you know, that's a shame we have to do that. You know, we'd like to be able to think about all these teams a lot, but frankly, everybody does their bracket that way. So this podcast, we're going to go through each region, and if you give everyone that one little second to think about it a little bit more. We're going to breeze through and go through each game. Okay. Not too long. You know, I figure if we limit these to about 10 minutes a region, I think
that'll be good.
We'll be good. And then we'll be able to do trivia and then do the NIT in 30 to 45 seconds.
Did you just say trivia?
I did. We have trivia coming. You're my first two-time guest on trivia, but we'll get
to that. Oh, my gosh. Well, let's. What do you want to hit up first? You want to go top left in Kentucky, Midwest?
Let's start with the Midwest. Okay, so obviously, one of the, you know, I heard you on the CBS podcast with Sam and the other guy. And
that other guy, Parrish, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And you guys kind of brought up the idea. The question was not so much is Kentucky the favorite, because obviously they are, but is Kentucky the favorite over the field? Are they the favorite over the field?
Well, it's okay. So I've seen a few numbers here. And I've tried to, like, with all, like, the writing, I actually enjoy, I've got your rootability thing favorited, which I did last year and got a lot of blowback on a couple of teams. So
A lot of Iowa fans mad at me, but I feel like that means I did something right.
Yeah. So I look for, I'm going to try and squeeze it in tonight. But what I'm getting at is I try to actually read other content at some point, because I want to read what so many people have to say and things they find. What I'm getting at is I've seen Kentucky's even money, but they're also, I think, they're like a 33, 34% to go and run through the field and win six more games. So those are kind of, I don't know. I'm not totally savvy when it comes to gambling and betting and all that Vegas stuff, but it would seem like the field is still the better bet. But it is very intriguing because this is the first time I mean, I was too young in the 90s to remember, but I would think it's the first time since Kentucky in 96 that this is like a legitimate question. Kentucky or the field, where it's like you should actually be debating this. And if it wasn't Kentucky 96, it would have been Vegas or maybe Duke a couple years after that. But I don't think Duke would have been the right choice there.
I feel like the closest analogy to it is that time when Tiger was really great. And it was like, okay, is it tight? And the idea of, well, Tiger versus the field, obviously you choose the field. It's golf. Like, it's really hard to win a golf tournament. But there was that one little, like, four-year stretch where it felt like you could actually do it. It feels like this is the only time I can remember it ever happening.
Yeah, it's wild. I think they're going to play Manhattan, which is interesting because Steve Mazziello is a Manhattan coach. He would have been at South Florida if his resume did not have an inaccuracy on it, saying that he technically had a Kentucky degree, which he didn't. He went and took online courses last summer to get his degree from Kentucky, where he went to school. And so now he's going to face Calipari, and they're going to beat him. They're just going to romp through him.
I think he should have to sit in the Kentucky student section for that. All right, so, okay, next is Cincinnati Purdue. I am generally the Big Ten booster, not this year, I'm afraid. I don't really think this is I find this Purdue team, all told, but my biggest frustration with the Purdue team is that, like, every time you play them, you feel like you should beat them by 15, and then you lose by, like, 8. And they got 12 wins in a very weak Big Ten. I don't actually like Purdue in this game at all.
Wow. Okay. I like Purdue. I was, you know, it was late last night. I just started like randomly tweeting thoughts. And I was harsh on this. I was like, no one's talking about this game because it's brutal. To me, this is will not appeal to casual fans much at all. I've got Purdue winning. Purdue would be the better matchup for Kentucky because they've got, you know, Isaac Haas, AJ Hammonds. They're 2 7-footers, taller than that even. So that makes it mildly interesting against Kentucky. This is a CBS game at 7:10 just after dinner on Thursday. And I think it will be interesting in that it can be close. But I do have Purdue. You've got the Bearcats here, huh? Who don't have Mick Cronin, their coach, because he was ordered to not coach this year because his blood pressure and stress levels, like, he was flirting with some big time problems, so he's had to step away for a little while.
Yeah, but he didn't he show up at the conference tournament? And they gave him a big hand, or was it the last home game of the year?
I think it was the last home game of the year that he showed up and was like there, but yeah.
Okay. All right. So then we go to. It's funny. You know, one of the things I did in my bracket react is the hipster upset pick that everyone's going to be everyone's going to be real clever about picking. 2 years in a row, Stephen F. Austin has been that obvious game. But there's I think like there's one in each bracket, and mine this year. I feel like mine this year is actually Buffalo. I actually like Buffalo in this game. I like Buffalo over West Virginia. That's as big of an upset. I'm notoriously a chalk guy in the bracket, but Buffalo is my team this year.
Okay, so when this came, this was like the third game shown on the screen when the bracket was released on Sunday, and my knee-jerk was Buffalo. But I've switched on it, gone to West Virginia because, listen, if you're a power conference team and you've beaten some really good teams, and you're proven that you can turn people over, which is what West Virginia does better than anyone in college basketball, and you're reliable at second chance opportunities and rebounding the ball, which West Virginia is, I cannot pick you to lose to a non-power conference team. So I did at first, I was like, ooh, I kind of do like Buffalo there. It would be cool, but I do have WVU. And not necessarily in a super tight one, but not by blowout either. I think this will be kind of one of those games where you keep a second eye on it. It's a second screen game, but West Virginia is kind of comfortably, you know, in a 6 to 10 point range for most of it.
All right. Well, it's funny because Buffalo's one of those teams that like snuck up on me when you looked, and I realized like, aren't they like a top 30 RPI team? Like, I remember at one point someone
they're way high.
Was even talking about like them as like someone put them up against Illinois at one point before Illinois collapsed, and I was like, oh wow, Buffalo has a better resume than Illinois. Maybe we suck.
I think that's four Illinois name drops in 8 minutes on the podcast.
Oh, so. I can't believe it. Wait till we listen. I haven't mentioned the Cardinals yet. Like, I'm doing pretty good. all right. So next is Maryland Valpo. I picked Valpo as one of the most likable teams in the tournament. I hadn't realized the last time they won a game was that Bryce Drew shot.
Yes.
That's the last time they won a tournament game. I don't actually see this here, even though it is my general I don't trust anything Big Ten. I feel like Maryland – I thought Maryland was the second best team in the Big Ten until Michigan State really turned it on late. But I think that speaks a little bit to the Big Ten, that Michigan State, a team that's clearly less talented than a lot of Michigan State teams, I feel was pretty clearly the second best team in the Big Ten. That doesn't speak too highly of Maryland, but I still have them winning this game.
I have them winning this game. Maryland has not been a KenPom favorite this year. They're still just 33rd overall, and they struggled to crack the top 40 for a long time. I think they are really solid, to be honest. I love Melo Trimble. Des Wells is just a superb player. I mean, a senior, started his career at Xavier. He is just, I could totally see, if Valpo keeps this interesting, which they can, but actually Valpo is going to be better next year, especially if, I would think Bryce Drew won't take another job, return next year with a really good team, make the tournament, and then maybe go. I think they're a year away, but if this was close, I could totally see Des Wells just scoring, you know, 8 straight points for Maryland, putting them over the top in the closing minutes. Give me the Terrapins to win. I don't have a great feel on how this game is going to play out, but I'm fairly comfortable the Terrapins will win.
All right, going over to the next, we have your vomitous Butler Bulldogs. And,
yes.
And the real question about this game is, if Butler wins, is Rick Barnes fired?
Yeah. Okay, so fired might not happen, and we did also mention this on the CBS podcast. Right.
Not fired, but...
It's not that like it couldn't happen. I mean, Barnes is just, he's such a nice guy. He's been there a while. He's gotten to the tournament. I don't have it in front of me, but I'm pretty sure every year except one, and if it's two, it was like his first year at Texas. Like, he goes every year, and there is no guarantee for most programs that happens. So there is something to be said for that, but when you go that often, that can backfire on you because fans, especially when you're able to get so many future pros, they want to see Final Fours and Elite Eights. I've got Butler here. Texas is favored. And I'm sure they're going to be the pick team because when you just look at Texas, you see, you know, what they have, and I understand that. But Chris Holtman's done a great job, man. I really like him. This is a terrific 2:45 game on CBS on Thursday. If people are going to be trying to watch this while at work and you're invested, this might just keep you at the office for an extra few minutes if it runs late. I have Butler. Do you have Butler?
I have Butler as well. It's fine. I always forget too because what's the name of the coach that was the guy at the beginning of the year and then left?
Brandon Miller.
Miller, yeah, because he was an Illinois assistant, number 5. He was an Illinois assistant. And they figure out what's going on with him. He's not coming back, but
yeah, like, no, there's a lot of mystery surrounding why he left. It's not really known. Some people think it's stress related, and there are other, you know, rumors or speculation, which I won't get too crazy into, but no, it is an untold story at this point in college basketball because he took over for Brad Stevens and Butler wasn't great last year. And then, you know, just he stepped away shortly before this season began. Chris Holtman, who used to coach Gardner Webb, took over and has done a great job. And Brandon Miller is just anywhere. He's just kind of, Holtman's, he's now the full-time coach. He's definitely a good guy for that program. And he's the kind of guy, in my opinion, where like if he got Butler like rolling to where it was making tournaments just about every year, like to me, this is a job he would stay at for 15 years.
Yeah, this is the same thing about Stevens. All right.
So no, well, no, because Stevens, I know what you're saying. Yeah, but I don't think NBA jobs are going to be coming Holtman's way. Stevens had like the young coach prodigy thing to him, so there was definitely like Indiana, Duke, Carolina, right. Those things.
Or the Celtics, right.
Or the Celtics, exactly. Right.
Okay, and then it's funny. I feel like if there's a team that everyone has been sleeping on all year, like Notre Dame is awesome. Like they've lost 5 games all year. They won the ACC tournament. To me, like it's kind of weird that no one's really paid attention to Notre Dame all year.
Yeah, there's something to that. They get Northeastern 12-15. I don't mean to like promo it, but in case viewers are listening, they're hearing us talking about this. I did this last year, just to give you an idea these games are getting played.
I guess. So the first thing I do when the times come out, I actually have a sit-up head and I write all the games in.
You there?
You still with me?
Yeah, I'm still there. Okay. I thought we might have had the connection cut. Yeah.
I always write them all out. I write all the times out so I know exactly. I can plan them out throughout the day. I feel like the times are actually important. So I support your endeavor there.
This is the first game on Thursday. So when you are so pumped and ready to watch the tournament and are just so eager for it to start, you know, in earnest, because the first four is weird, this will be the first one. Notre Dame playing Northeastern. Nobody's taking Northeastern. Notre Dame has been overlooked. I had to rank the field 1-68. I put Notre Dame as the eighth best team in this tournament. The weird thing with them, and I do want to research this out by the end of tonight, hopefully, they don't have a great defense, okay? Offense is just ridiculous, so fun. Jaron Grant, first-team All-American in my opinion. This is the best offense Mike Bray's ever had, but they rank 112th in defensive efficiency. I want to look and see the lowest-rated defensive efficiency team to ever make a Final Four in the KenPom era. I would venture that no team below like 80 has ever done it. So while I would love to pick Notre Dame to reach a Final Four, I can't do it in Kentucky's region. And even if they weren't there, I might not be able to do it based on what their defense isn't. It's not awful, but it's not great. I do like them in this game to win big. I mean, I think they'll just, you know, they won the ACC tournament. I think that will carry over right away. I think that they'll just overwhelm Northeastern.
And then we have and the second is the coach getting fired if he lose game.
Yeah.
Wichita State, Indiana. To me, I feel like he's, again, I'm using the term fired, lose. Will they no longer be the coach after this game? To me, it feels, even though Barnes is maybe a little bit more established at Texas, it feels like he's more likely to go than Crean if just because of that buyout.
Yes. So the buyout for Tom Crean, I mean, Indiana fans have gotten ruthless with Crean.
It's awesome. I love
in
it.
I know you, as an Illinois fan, you love it. In a weird way, it's almost like they prefer Indiana make the tournament and then get romped by Wichita State because it's one more game that Crean's on a big stage, and if he lost, they'd weirdly relish in it. But I'm telling you, I think he'll be there. One, because the buyout's $12 million and doesn't dip to $7 million until July 1. And at that point, it's not impossible to get yourself a coach, obviously. But that's still a lot of cash, like a lot of cash. Georgia Tech fans want Brian Gregory out, and my buddy Jeff Goodman reported, and I think Gary actually did as well, that's just not likely to happen because Georgia Tech's already paying Paul Hewitt, who's now been fired from his next job at George Mason. They can't afford to pay another coach and pay an incoming coach. I think Crean will be there next year. I think he will have his job. I do have Wichita State in this game. This is my third favorite round of 64 game. Should be a lot of offense. 2:45 tip on CBS on Friday out there in Omaha. Wichita State will have a huge contingent there. So will Indiana. They both will travel well, but they get a game that isn't too far away from their home base, so to speak. But give me the Shockers in a game that should be minimally in the mid-70s.
And my thing with Indiana is, like, they've got shooters, they've got scorers, so I feel like, you know, like they've got one of those games where they just get hot. I feel like they actually, like, the Indiana, you can argue whether they should have been in the tournament or not, but now that they're in, I feel like they're maybe a little scarier 10 seed than maybe some of the other 10 seeds, but I still feel like Wichita State is probably a scarier 7 seed than most of the
seeds. Yeah, Wichita State's misseeded. They're a 5. Yeah. I mean, that was a bad job. I understand why the committee did it, but yeah, they're not a 7.
So, and of course, then that brings them against, I'm not going to talk too much about Kansas, New Mexico State, because New Mexico State we hear New Mexico State, we think like Lou Henson or like these old New Mexico, but that conference is like a disaster right now. Like it's the second best, like this New Mexico State.
It's amazing how far the whack has fallen.
Until Grand Canyon comes back through online classes and makes the league great again. Seriously, in all seriousness, go see a game at Grand Canyon. It is honestly one of the most vivid, exciting college basketball experiences I've actually ever had.
That's wild. Yeah, I read your piece on it. Yeah. That's so bizarre. But yeah, Kansas is going to romp in this game. By the way, as we started this podcast, Bill Self essentially said the NCAA is not going to make Cliff Alexander eligible for the entire tournament. And to think a year ago we were discussing Cliff Alexander not going to Illinois, and look how this has worked out for Kansas. It hasn't been what they'd hoped. Point is, they won't have one of their best players he hasn't been their best player. He hasn't been their second best player. But Cliff Alexander is obviously a big piece. He has a lingering NCAA issue. His mom might have taken out a loan, which is against NCAA rules, based on his future potential earnings as a pro. And so Cliff Alexander may never play college basketball again.
That's the difference between Kansas and Illinois, though. Kansas can have that happen. It's like, oh, it's frustrating. He could have been a contributor. And if that would have happened to Illinois, we would just pick, we finally get a great recruit, and look what happens.
That's a great point.
So it's probably for the best. Then, of course, and I thought you were going to bring up the other thing that Bill Self said, which was, and we'll go into the second round now, I thought they decided to call it the second round this year.
No, that's next year. They had to keep it for this year. Will's getting at the fact that we still call it the first round, second round, round of 64, round of 32, because it's stupid. But they're going to do it next year. There was too much stuff printed and tickets printed and things promoted when they made that announcement. So starting next year, the round of 64 will officially be known as the first round again.
About damn time. But Self famously, I thought you said Self, I thought you were going to bring up the fact that he, not only does he famously not want to play Wichita State, he wasn't really happy about this potential matchup either, was he?
No, he wasn't. I have Wichita State over Kansas. I love the fact the committee did this. It's not intentional. I wish I could convince people that it's not. You really have to go to the bracketing process and really understand that how many factors go in, that it's just to move teams around to get these potential great TV matchups. I mean, yeah, it could happen if you're super cynical, but I'm telling you, it's such a convoluted process. A lot of these things are just inevitable. Like, there's so many coaches that have connections to schools, right. Like, you're going to get them no matter what. Right. Self is, frank, he's like, this ain't fun. This is not a good story. I don't want to be playing Wichita State, period. I don't like this whatsoever. I like that Self can be honest about that. And you better believe Greg Marshall wants that game, because he knows Wichita State can beat Kansas, and if they do, a huge win for him personally, for that program. This bottom half of the Midwest could just be interesting in what it does for the perception of a lot of coaches. Crean, if Marshall again gets to a second weekend, if Barnes doesn't win, if Mike Bray gets out of this to face Kentucky, it would boost his reputation overall. So it's very intriguing.
All right, so Butler, Notre Dame. I also have Wichita State, by the way. I also, like, everybody does. And I feel like that says a lot about Kansas, Wichita State. It also says a little bit about Kansas, to be honest. I feel like
the weakest two.
He's kind of done it with spit and gristle this year, which it's a very impressive for Self, but I think now is when that gets harder. Butler, Notre Dame, who do you have?
I mean, we can move on quickly here. I got Notre Dame, and I think that they'll kind of beat Butler easily.
Yeah, I also have that. So sorry, puking bulldog. You have Maryland, West Virginia. I have Maryland, Buffalo. I have Maryland over Buffalo. The great dream of Buffalo is over. But I have Maryland winning. Who do you have?
I have the Terps getting to the Sweet 16 and Scott Van Pelt kind of half-heartedly enjoying this run, because he seems a little bitter that Maryland got the 4 seed in Kentucky's region. But I do have the Terrapins beating West Virginia in a sneaky good round of 32 game.
And then Kentucky over, you have Kentucky over Purdue. I have Kentucky over Cincinnati. That's correct.
Yes.
Purdue and Cincinnati. That brings us to Kentucky, Maryland. Anything Maryland can do there?
They can keep it interesting because they've got really talented guards. Jake Layman is a solid big man. Like, he'll probably earn an NBA paycheck. But sometimes these one seeds that go on to win a title, you look back and, like, the Final Four games, like, okay, they'll have some challenges, but usually it's that Sweet 16 game where they can run into a little bit of trouble. I don't know how much trouble they'll have, but I do have Kentucky over Maryland. I hope it's good. That's the thing with Kentucky. Just, they have the easiest region, okay? I hope that they at least make it interesting. Also, I will be at that game, so for the selfish reasons, I'm going to be in Cleveland. So I would like them to get at least tested in the Sweet 16 or Elite 8. I mean, there is something, that will just gawk if they start killing teams, but they haven't been, like, they've been dominant, but they have not been just blowing teams out left and right. I mean, they needed overtimes a couple times to win this year. Should have lost at LSU. Georgia had hope for a second there. You were at that game. I'm hoping we get one of those before they reach Final Four.
All right, so, and that, who do you have? Notre Dame. Are we gonna get a Wichita State rematch?
I have Notre Dame. I would love a Wichita State rematch. I think that would be so awesome. A year removed when Wichita State got a brutal draw in getting Kentucky in the round of 32. But like Notre Dame's firepower too much, I got them moving on.
All right. Okay. I have Wichita State because I want that matchup so badly, and that gives me. And I'm assuming we all have Kentucky in the Final Four.
Yes. Yes,
okay,
we do.
We'll go back to that. Okay. Now we go over to the West. Wisconsin, Coastal Carolina. My disrespect for the Big Ten this year does not extend to Wisconsin as long as they do not wear the fanny pack uniforms again. and they're not going to, I would assume. I feel like that. I feel like it's their second round game when Oregon wears whatever crayon outfit they're going to play. We'll move on just from that one. Oregon, Oklahoma State. It's weird because Illinois lost to Oregon earlier this year, and I was despairing. That was like the thing when you realize, oh no, everything's falling apart, and Oregon has actually turned out to be a lot better than I think a lot of people anticipated.
Way better, and you could argue they're a little bit underseeded here. Dana Altman had no business winning 15 games, let alone 25, with this roster. I think Joe Young is going to score at least 25 points in this game. I do have the Ducks winning. This is a Friday 6:50 TBS game. So as you're kind of getting home to watch, I think this will be the first tip in that window. Oklahoma State's an enigma. I just don't trust them. So I'll go with Oregon overall because they'll have Joe Young's a little bit better than LeBron Nash, who was a guy at Oklahoma State who had aspirations of going pro after 1 year. Didn't work out. Has turned into a really solid four-year player, but I'll take the Ducks.
Okay, I also have Oregon, if just because I want to see fanny packs against green crayons. All right, that leads us to Arkansas, Wofford. Wofford is everyone's kind of fun pick on this. I have to confess, I don't quite see it, and I feel like that you guys actually brought something good on your podcast where you talked about how I think it was Sam that actually said Wofford tends to play like their opponents at the speed of their opponents, and Arkansas could run them off the court a little bit. I actually feel like Arkansas was pretty clearly, pretty solidly, and comfortably the second best team in the SEC this year. And if this were like maybe a non-crazy Kentucky team, we might be a little bit more excited about Arkansas. So I like Arkansas in that game.
I take Wofford. I could be way wrong on this. I have 2-12 over five, so this is one of them. I think Wofford's just got, you know, good experience, guys who were in the tournament last year, really good group overall I don't want to say don't get flustered because they can, but it's better than the team that was there last year, and the tournament can sometimes be a half-court game. I don't fully buy or trust Arkansas yet. They've been good and so not good in some spots with Mike Anderson. Let me see it. So I took kind of Wofford on a flyer. 65-63 kind of game, maybe buzzer beater type for Wofford.
All right, and then one upset I'm very glad to see not very many people are picking is Harvard over North Carolina. I thought that would be tempting to people, but it doesn't seem to be.
No, in part because, you know, North Carolina's kind of proven itself a little bit more here over the past 2 weeks. Harvard's won in the past 2 years in the tournament. They should build a statue for Amaker if he wins a third year as an Ivy League program. That just does not happen. This is a tough matchup. Harvard's got good players. Like, Wesley Saunders is the best player in the history of the program. He's on the team. Siani Chambers is a really good point guard. But, like, here, like, if Page shows up, North Carolina's point guard, like, Marcus Page is Marcus Page, you'll kind of see the difference between an ACC stud and an Ivy stud. And Siani Chambers is, like, a tough dude. I really like his game. But there is a difference there. I've got Carolina running away. Not, like, 20 points, but, like, maybe it's tight at halftime and you're like, tune in. This is a Thursday night 7:20 tip on TNT. Maybe it's interesting, but I think at the end when there's like 2 minutes to go, Carolina's going to be up by 13 and you're going to know that it's pretty much over.
Yeah, everyone was rooting for Yale.
I know, dude. That is, I tweeted it. Listen, it's brutal. Yale was one play away at Dartmouth from getting into the NCAAs. It blows. It doesn't. Then it loses at the buzzer practically to Harvard. And it's not even in the NIT. That's just unfair.
That stinks. All right, so who do you have BYU Ole Miss, by the way?
I've got BYU comfortably here.
Yeah, I think so too.
Not huge on Ole Miss. BYU's got a lot of offense, and they're a good team. I think they will easily win.
So how about them and Xavier?
Yeah, I think BYU or Xavier is going to be a somewhat popular pick. Even though Xavier made the Big East Tournament final, I think people think Xavier's a little bit overseeded. I will take the X-Men. Aren't a great team by any means, but solid. I was talking to Chris Mack. I mean, they've got a composed group, and Matt Stainbrook is a dude. For people listening to this podcast are going to see Xavier in that, or might have seen him on Fox Sports 1 with the Big East Tournament and all that stuff. Stainbrook has got, you know, he's got a little bit of a belly on him. He's got, like, perma bedhead. got those glasses, and you don't think he's like he should even be on the floor. But I'm telling you, tall dude, good post game, good savvy. He's their best player. I like Xavier to beat BYU. I think that could be a really good game. And I was trying to think earlier. I don't know if Xavier and BYU have ever played each other in a tournament. I feel like they have, but both of those teams have, in the past 15 years, had some pretty remarkable first weekend showings. And if they match up with each other, I could see that one being something of a memorable game.
All right, I have Xavier as well. One of the stadiums I've been to this year, I was hoping Georgia State was going to be a little better this year. I think they, I think that at one point they people thought they would be like they could really run through that league. That didn't really happen. And it's funny, like one of the issues with them has actually been Kevin Ware. He's been like really inconsistent for them. He only started starting because the other guy was hurt. But he had a great game in the tournament. As much as anyone could have a great game in that conference tournament game. Because it was 36-34, I think is how that turned out.
38-36, yeah.
But they're playing Baylor. Baylor, another team that getting back to Illinois. When Illinois beat Baylor this year, it didn't really feel like that. It didn't really feel like that great of a win. And it turned out Baylor turned out to be a 3 seed, which I don't think anyone could have possibly seen coming into this season.
Yeah, Scott Drew's done a great job. Baylor's got some dudes. Kenny Cherry is just a tough guard. Rico Gathers is a really funny guy. I talked to him for a story I wrote earlier this year, and just a beast on the boards. Maybe the best rebounder in college basketball on both ends. This game is in Jacksonville. It's a 1:40 tip on TBS on Thursday. So it's in Jacksonville. Georgia State's going to bring a big contingent. They don't have to hop on a plane to go to a game. Baylor will have its fans there as well, but I'm interested to see I won't be there, but you know how the crowd will be for Georgia State. I've got Baylor winning, even though Georgia State also has R.J. Hunter, Ron Hunter's son. He's a future pro. Ron Hunter will be on crutches for this game coaching, I would think. He ripped his Achilles celebrating the win. Craziest thing. And he's a really nice guy. But he said he's not having surgery until after they're out of the tournament. So if that's the case, I don't know if he's not going to be in a cast, so he's going to be in a brace and on crutches. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting sight on Thursday when that game gets underway.
All right, so you've got Baylor there.
Yes.
And then, to me, one of the more intriguing first-round games, too, is VCU-Ohio State, it feels like D'Angelo Russell against VCU.
Yes, this is my second favorite round of 64 game. I'm going to take Ohio State. If VCU had Briante Weber, I would take VCU, but their best defender has been out for the season. He just ripped up his knee. Just a sad ending. He was just, 10 steals away from setting the all-time record in the NCAA for steals. But, yeah, D'Angelo Russell is so good. I'm going to think and take the Buckeyes to beat a VCU team that's good. But, man, part of it's just I would love to see Russell just at least play more than one game in the tournament because he's going to go to the NBA. He's going to be a top five pick. He gets around him, we'll see. Amir Williams, if he can play decently down low, I think that kind of helps Ohio State's chances overall. But this is going to be a fun one, I think, or at least I'm expecting it to be close throughout. I think within a minute to go, it's going to be at most, 4 or 5 points. Shannon Scott, the good news is Russell is kind of like the lead guard, but Shannon Scott's a terrific secondary option at point guard. So give me the Buckeyes. Who do you have?
I have the Buckeyes as well, even though I think for the same reason, like it feels like Russell needs to have one more than one game. But like it's funny, you look back, actually a lot of great college players ended up having one game.
Yes. Durant didn't.
Yeah, he made one. No, he beat New Mexico State. They lost to USC in the second round.
That's what it was.
That's what it was. But I remember like there was one year where like it was Kansas State against Indiana when it was like Michael Beasley and Eric Gordon. Yeah. And like
Jabari Parker last year. Austin Rivers wasn't a great college player, but he was also one and done. You do get a few of those, and it's crazy because I've written about this before. The tournament, when it comes, it's just everything is just go, 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 go. It's so fast, and then you kind of look up, it's Sunday night, and you're like, whoa, these players, we're never going to see
they're
these
done.
Players.
Right, exactly.
Like,
exactly.
They can almost end in some obscurity because they might lose by 10, and the game ends at like 4:30 on a Friday, and you're not even paying attention in that moment, and they're just gone, like poof,
Okay, and Arizona, Texas Southern, which is Texas Southern, I know it's Mike Davis, and I know they beat Indiana this year. I'm still kind of biased against them because they could have lost their conference championship game and still went, Which bothers me. If they want it, so that's good. That's good for them. But something about it.
Arizona by 25 points.
Here. Yeah, Arizona flying through. Okay, so let's zoom through then for the next round. Let's start up top. Wisconsin, Oregon. You like Wisconsin?
I do have Wisconsin in that game. That will be a Sunday matchup.
And how? And you have North Carolina Wofford. So I assume does the Wofford end dream? Dream end.
Sorry, it does. I'll take. Yeah, I think Carolina will win. Comfortably. That'll be a Saturday game. That'll probably be squeezed right there in like that 5-6 p.m. window, I would guess. But Tar Heels beating Wofford, and I think that they'll kind of, you know, get to the second weekend, and you'll see that they'll have had less of an issue than most other Sweet 16 teams that aren't one seeds that have broke through.
All right, so Xavier Baylor, which seems like it might be kind of a fun game.
That could be good. I will take Baylor. I think they'll own Xavier on the boards. I like what they have overall. Xavier can make it interesting. It's a good team, but I would assume you also have Baylor Sweet 16.
I have Baylor as well, and then we both have Arizona against Ohio State. I have Arizona. Didn't they finish the year 2 in KenPom?
Yes, Arizona is the second team in KenPom. Yeah, and I think they're the third best team in the tournament. I actually think Duke is still a little bit better, but I would have Arizona's third best.
So you have them over Baylor. I mean, over Ohio State.
I do have them over Ohio State, and I have them easily over Ohio State.
Easily, okay. How about them against Baylor?
I cannot listen. Just as a quick thing on Arizona, they are so good defensively, and I think Stanley Johnson who is a freshman, kind of a power wing of sorts. I think he is going to have a tremendous tournament. I think he is going to put up some numbers that really make people start to consider him to be an even higher draft pick than he is. Torian Prince is a solid player. Royce O'Neal is a good senior for Baylor, but they don't have what Arizona has. So I have Arizona Elite Eight.
And then Wisconsin UNC.
Yeah, I've got the Tar Heels here.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
Yeah, I hate when I look up and I've got a bracket that's got Elite Eight games of a 1-2, a 1-2, a 1-3, and a 1-2. So I had to mix it up. I can't totally explain why I did it. If you're looking for a reason, I would say Carolina loves to get out and run. This Wisconsin team can score, but it's not an epically great defensive team for Bo Ryan. It is a little susceptible in that regard. What is the Trayvon Jackson situation? Yeah. I don't know if he's going to be able to play, and if he is, how impactful he's going to be. If I knew they would have him at full strength, I would have reconsidered this. But something on a flyer, give me the Tar Heels to knock off Wisconsin in the Sweet 16.
All right. Well, I have Wisconsin in the fanny packs. Not that it really matters, because Arizona is going to be basically the home team this entire.
Yes, correct. So you bring up a great point. This is going to be in L.A. And, Bucky travels well. But come on, this is going to be a huge Arizona contingent.
Well, I have Wisconsin. In the Final Four. I like Wisconsin. I want to see a rematch. That game was I was sitting next to you, I believe, during that game, that Wisconsin-Kentucky game last year.
Correct.
Just an absolutely terrific game that has almost been lost because there were so many great games in that tournament last year, but involving Kentucky even.
Remember, so you got the Wisconsin-Kentucky Final Four rematch, but remember, this will mirror Wisconsin-Arizona played a tremendous Elite Eight game that went to OT that Wisconsin broke through. So you've got Sean Miller getting bested by Bo Ryan in the regional final 2 straight years.
Oh, wow, it's Bo. As I wrote my thing, he's a Hall of Famer with his best ever team. For me, that's very exciting to have.
That's a great way of putting it.
So you have Arizona over UNC?
I do. I have Arizona in the Final Four. And Sean Miller, Sean Miller, removing the title of best coach to not make a Final Four. And, I think it would then go to Tony Bennett.
Well, we'll see. Maybe that'll end this year too.
Maybe.
So that brings us over segue, and I love it. We're going over to the East. One brief thing about Villanova. I find this a little baffling. I've heard a lot of college basketball people say, well, it feels like Villanova's gone under the radar because of their television situation. Which for me, I understand maybe the average cable watcher doesn't watch a lot of Fox Sports 1. But for crying out loud, if you're a college basketball professional Everybody has Fox Sports 1. It's not like it's this weird channel that you have to subscribe to. Everyone should be able to watch every Villanova game, just like they're able to watch every Wisconsin or every Kentucky game, right?
Yeah, but here's the thing. So
it's not even in a weird spot on the dial. Like, it's usually like, I get it. Not a lot of people watch the station, but like, if Villanova's right there, you can watch them anytime you want to.
Here's where I come down on this. So since the Big East isn't on ESPN anymore and people just default go to ESPN, except when they're looking at CBS.
Casual people, yes.
Yes.
But college basketball people have no excuse to do that.
No, I get you. I'm telling you, Villanova's profile, because the Big East is a different Big East and they're not on ESPN, they are not perceived as good as they should be. I'm telling you, if they were on ESPN, I do believe this, if they were on ESPN in Big East conference games and it wasn't a 10-team league and it was, 12 to 14 teams and you still had some of those and they did this, no one would be doubting Villanova. They wouldn't be considered the weakest one seed. They wouldn't have been doubted to even be a one seed to begin with. So I do believe there is something of that creeping in.
That's so weird. Like, I understand, like, why, like, my dad, I've been on Fox Sports 1 before, and my dad cannot figure out what the hell that channel is, even though it's right next to ESPN. Like, I get it if you don't casual, if you're not a sports nerd like the rest of us, I understand. But, like, there's no excuse for Gary Parrish to not be able to be watching Fox Sports. I love Gary. For the way, I'm not reviewing, I actually like Gary, I love him. But there's no excuse to not being able to, if you write about college basketball,
I hear you in this regard. I'm just telling you, like, the perception. I'm like, not fighting with you on this. Yeah, I know.
Like,
I hear you.
Like, I can watch Illinois-Purdue on ESPN 2 the night or Villanova-Georgetown on Fox Sports 1. There's those. Anyway, okay, rant over.
Hold on, real quick. True TV has a Twitter account, and so Rush the Court, Randy McClure, my good friend, tweeted, it's that great time of the year again where I try and find out which channel True TV is, which again is what we're talking about here. Right, come on, let's be ridiculous. Then True TV retweeted it, a manual retweet, and said Google is hard. So it was like such a burn.
Honestly, like the problem is because it used to be Court TV, and everybody knew where Court TV was. Right?
Yeah.
But everybody, like, Court TV was like a station. Like, I remember my mother getting obsessed with the Ray Caruth trial. Everybody watched Court TV. Court TV is like a, it's in the lexicon. But when they changed their name, everyone just stopped. They're like, I don't know what the hell this thing is. And they never moved on. I think if it were still called Court TV, I think they would have been perfectly fine putting basketball games on Court TV. Nobody would have cared.
Court TV.
But exactly. Oh, even better. I didn't even realize the pun. All right, so moving on. So you have Villanova over Lafayette. Who do you like in the NC State LSU game?
Yeah, this is a late tip on TBS Thursday night. I refuse to learn my lesson. The 8-9 games, almost every other year, will have a team that has talent and has underachieved and is a 5 seed and 9 seeds clothing, so to speak. LSU is that team this year. I'm taking them to beat NC State, which probably means NC State's going to win. LSU has the better roster, in my opinion. Both teams are capable of beating Villanova, by the way. Not in like a 7-game series, but in a 1-on-1 for sure. I've got the Bayou Bengals. What about you?
I also have LSU, even though I liked their win in the SEC tournament before they lost to Auburn. They hit that last second shot. It was very end of the year. Excuse me, right before the tournament. I like LSU. I feel like they are. I'm with you. They're better than people think. So next is Northern Iowa, Wyoming. Northern Iowa, again, a team that I realize they haven't been to the tournament in like 5 years. It's actually been a while since they've been in.
But Farouk Benesh.
But this team is awesome. Like, this team is really, really good, and they have a legit star.
Yeah, Seth Tuttle is, in terms of production and value, a top 10 player. He's not top 10 talent, but top 10 value. And the numbers he puts up. So he's their best player. They play slow. They're, I guess you could call them, similar to Virginia and how they're built and how they play. Bummer for Wyoming. I love that Wyoming's in. Larry Nance Jr. can sky. They probably wouldn't have even been in it, needed an automatic if he had played the whole year. He had some mono. Wyoming has not been in since 2002, and that year they beat Gonzaga when they were an 11 seed. So it's been a long time. But I do have Northern Iowa winning this game. This will not be a pretty watch. I think it will be a compelling watch. It's a 140 TBS tip on Friday. But give me the Panthers to win by about 4 or 5 points. It will be unlucky if they lose this game. And they could, because it's going to be slow. And, Wyoming hits two kind of freak threes that the tournament can provide. They lose by one. UNI is one and done. It would be unfair because, in my opinion, Northern Iowa is clearly a top 15 team in the country.
And then the one game I did not pick an upset on but really wanted to was Louisville UC Irvine. This is not Louisville. Like, it's Louisville, but it's not Louisville.
Yeah. Not a four seed, in my opinion. The same way Georgetown, who we'll get to, is not a four seed. Louisville is not a four seed. Like, I mean, whatever. If they play each other, it is what it is. But Northern Iowa's the four seed, and Louisville's the five in this region. I wanted to take Irvine. Mamadou Njai, 7'6" center for the Anteaters in their first tournament ever. I do love the UC Irvine Anteaters. It's my second favorite nickname in all of college sports to the Santa Cruz Banana Slugs, who are not Division I, alas. But I wanted to take it. I couldn't. I think Louisville will win this game. I think if you're Irvine, you just haven't seen defensive pressure in a press like this all year. I think you can definitely get flustered by that. I'd love to take them, but I didn't have the stones to do it.
Yeah, I feel the exact same way, but I think Louisville is going to get wiped out by UNI, but we're not ready for that yet. Okay, next is, who do you have? Boise State Dayton, by the way. That is poor Boise State to have to play.
I've written and said so much about Dayton, so I won't keep harping, but it's brutal that they were even just this badly misseeded. I've got Dayton winning. Boise State gets unlucky, having to play a road game in the NCAA tournament, which is something that really went the way of the dodo, or so we thought, in the mid-'80s. But
after Kentucky beat Illinois at Rupp Arena in the Elite Eight in 1984, specifically.
We are to set a record for Illinois references on a podcast.
That's what did it. That was what it was.
Yes.
Illinois did that, and they had the you can look at the video replay on an out-of-bounds ball in the last minute rule. That also inspired them because of the loss to Miami, so... There you go. We changed the world at Illinois.
I've got Providence over Dayton. Providence has Chris Dunn and LaDonte Hinton, the best 1-2 combo, punch duo, however you want to say it. No team is better because of two guys and how consistently great they are in this tournament than Providence with Dunn and Hinton.
I've got Dayton fever.
For the second straight year?
Yeah, I'm intoxicated because remember, I was there. That was the best part of being in Buffalo last year. I wrote about this, and people, Dayton fans still thank me for it, which was weird because that fan base was amazing. Like, Dayton has a very underrated traveling fan base. I saw it at the A-10 tournament a few years ago, and I saw it again in Buffalo. I've got Dayton fever. So I actually have Dayton winning that game, and I actually have them beating Oklahoma in the next game over who I'm assuming if they beat Albany, who you have Oklahoma beating. Beating Albany, I assume?
Absolutely not.
I've got
Albany, a Friday 7:27 tip on True TV. Give me Albany. Really good team. Has maybe the story of the tournament in that, you know, Peter Hooley hit the winning shot with 1.8 to go to send them to the tournament. And he left the team. You know, it's funny. I was talking to Will Brown earlier this year, and he had mentioned that Hooley had left, but we were talking about other stuff, and I didn't get into it. I didn't realize at the time that he left to go to the other side of the world to be with his dying mother. And she has sadly passed in January. He came back. He hits the winning shot. It's a story you're going to see everywhere. But Albany's a good team. They're one of the better America East teams of the past 10 or 15 years, pretty close to how good that Vermont team was that beat Syracuse. I like Oklahoma. It's got really good defense, but I usually like to get wacky with one or two picks. And awesome. So give me the Great Danes who will get that win that they so rightly should have had in 06 when they were 16 and tried to knock out UConn.
That was awesome. I always remember that game. I'm so glad you brought that game up. All right. Okay. Don't rant too much now. But go ahead and hammer Georgia. Just go.
Okay, now listen. We'll keep it really short. Michigan State is going to win this game by 14 points. Georgia, I just not inspired by them. Didn't think they deserved to be in the field. Temple had a better win than Georgia had.
Illinois had better wins than Georgia had.
Actually. Yeah, so to me, it's the definition of an uninspiring inclusion. The SEC in general wasn't deserving of how many bids it got.
Do you think that Kentucky game helped them a lot?
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. And if they had beaten Kentucky, then I wouldn't be saying this. And well, they'd also be in the 8-9 game if they beat Kentucky. But they didn't beat Kentucky. And
I feel like looking so terrible against Arkansas hurt too. That was like the first time a lot of people had seen them other than the Kentucky game, and they looked terrible.
You know, and you try and hope that recency bias doesn't play too much in, but I can't help with this committee but think that it did. This is the most one-sided 7-10 game I think I can ever remember. I don't know anyone taking Georgia. Obviously, some people will, but I have not seen anyone say Georgia will win this game. So I've got Georgia losing, and I have Belmont beating Virginia.
You're going through with it, huh?
Yeah, I'm going through it. So I had Virginia originally. I've had two coaches text me being like, what are you doing, man? Virginia is going to romp those guys. And you know, it's probably so right. I'm just going to say Belmont gets, you know, they're very fun to watch. They can throw it up from deep. This is a program that has made the tournament six times in recent years and not won a game. You want to say it's due, but that's not necessarily true. Virginia's really good. I don't know what we're going to get from Justin Anderson. This is a Friday 3:10 game on True TV. Why not? Let's just have a little bit of fun here. So I will take Belmont to just get by Virginia because it could be low scoring. And if you've got a low scoring game, you know, high 50s, low 60s, and you've got that underdog and, you know, it's in Charlotte. Belmont's going to have a good fan base there along with Virginia. Maybe you keep it close enough where one or two threes in the final minute give you hope. So give me the Bruins.
Oh, bless your heart. I'm still mad at them for taking Murray State away, so I can't do that. But I will take – I have Virginia. Okay, so you have then Belmont, Michigan State. Michigan State?
Yes, Michigan State.
The dream ends. Providence, Albany. I love your bracket here.
Yeah, this is going to blow up in my face. I do – I am taking Providence.
Okay. You and I and Louisville.
Yeah, I go Northern Iowa here, and I go Northern Iowa – comfortably, not in a blowout, but just you'll watch and you'll and as it plays up, you'll be like, yeah, this was not really ever much in doubt. So give me the Panthers.
And then Villanova or LSU?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a...
It's a little scarier.
Little scare, but Villanova should win. I mean, they're just so good. What about you?
I've got Villanova or LSU. I also have Northern Iowa over Louisville. I have Dayton over Oklahoma because I have Dayton Flyers fever, and I have Virginia over Michigan State. I think I feel like if Michigan State were in a lot of other regions,
also a rematch from last year.
Yes, because they definitely came together at the end of the year, but I still like Virginia in that one. I have Virginia over Dayton, and Villanova over Northern Iowa. You have Villanova, Northern Iowa, whom?
So I have Villanova beating Northern Iowa because I'd proclaimed 24 hours before the bracket was even released that there was no chance I wasn't picking Villanova to at least the Elite Eight. And I've got Providence as my Elite Eight dark horse. Nice. So give me PC just because to reiterate, like Chris Dunn is so good. He is a player that I know casual sports fans that are going to watch this tournament don't really know. But I'm telling you, between him and Henton, they can have that, you know, actually, if you want to use the Rhode Island kind of comparison for a deep run that people, you know, don't really realize, I think that they have the ability to make that kind of run, and I think the bracket sets up decently for them. I would not take them against Virginia, but I don't have them playing Virginia.
Okay, right. And so that I have, you have Villanova Providence. Who do you have?
Yeah, I've got Villanova getting there, you know, that would be a Big East matchup.
Yeah,
so,
right.
So that could get interesting. But give me Villanova, who was just so clearly better than anyone in that league, to win and hopefully get a good game from Providence. But I think Villanova will get to the Final Four and face its toughest test in its round of 32 game.
Interesting. I have Virginia. I like Virginia over Villanova. I know you guys made a compelling case on your podcast about how their offense has been down a little bit, but I like most people, I want to hold Tony Bennett, and I want him to hold me.
Yeah, so, he is a very pretty man. Yeah,
so all right, so I have Virginia. All right, so now to the South. Okay, we'll fly along because I'm sure you have other things to do. North Florida, Robert Morris.
Yeah, give me Bobby Moe and then Duke to beat Bobby Moe and then San Diego State to beat St. John. St. John's doesn't have a starting center because he likes to smoke pot. Multiple reports, he's suspended 2 weeks. They announced that before the bracket, so San Diego State's got good defense. Yeah, so that's a late tip on Friday, CBS, but do you have the Aztecs or the Johnnies?
I also have the Aztecs. I have Steve Fisher fever. Okay, everybody loves the Stephen F. Austin. I'm picking Utah. You guys are among the people that have sold me on Utah. Not you, but the other two have sold me on Utah all year. I love Utah. I feel like this is too hip for the room. Pickens. I know they're good, and I know they won last year, but I feel like Utah is a much better team than people are. The people are just kind of flying past them because they like Stephen F. Austin, but I like Utah.
Yeah, I'm going Austin. I mean, when you don't lose games beyond December 1st until you get to March, no coach has won more games through two seasons in the history of D1 men's basketball than Brad Underwood, Stephen F. Austin's coach. That's outrageous. Granted, they're not playing in a power league, but they've beaten pretty much almost every single team that they should have beaten. Lumberjacks are just damn good. Utah's good, but they haven't been in the tournament since 2009. Stephen F. Austin, on the other hand, has guys who are familiar with you know how this whole thing will play out. So this is my favorite game of all of the round of 64 games. It is a Thursday 7:27 True TV game. Give me the Jacks. And I have Georgetown beating Eastern Washington.
They're fun, though. Eastern Washington's fun.
Yes, they are fun. That is the late game from Portland. Schedule makers know what they're doing. They like to throw in those the late windows. They like to get one game on each night where there's a good chance that a high seed can fall. They put two of them here, first with Austin and then with Washington, Eastern Washington. But this one seems – it just seems too obvious. I can't quite go with the Eagles here, who are going to have a good crowd there because Eastern Washington and this game is in Portland. Georgetown struggled against double-digit seeds. People think they're going to lose. They didn't look good at the Big East tournament. No reason to pick Georgetown except for their seeding, so I will go with Georgetown.
Dave Straight. SMU and the team that no one is happy is in the tournament, UCLA.
Yep, UCLA is going to win because of that. You know how these things can go. They've actually got talent and have looked good. SMU has, you know, good on them to get in. You could make the case that they're a 5 instead of a 6 as well, but this is just kind of like a gut play. That's a Thursday game at 3:10 on True TV. I'm going with the Belmont Bruins and the UCLA Bruins.
I get it. I get it. Iowa State, UAB, we know who would win in football. What do you to be Iowa State? I kind of love them, and I love the mayor so much that I want him to. I know there's always talk about him going to the NBA, but I actually feel like he should like die in Ames and should never should.
Yeah, that would be great. I think it's inevitable he goes to the NBA. This will be a snoozer game. It's a Thursday 12:40 tip. Iowa State big.
Okay, Iowa Davidson. I was my least favorite team in the Big Ten this year, which means they're kind of good, but they're really annoying. Faye McCaffrey's going to have a stroke someday. who do you like here, Iowa Davidson?
Yeah, I've got Davidson. Davidson struggles against big and athletic teams, which Iowa State has some dudes. I mean, Iowa has some dudes. But I'm going to go Davidson almost on a gut feel here. This feels like an 8-9 toss-up game, even though it's a 7-10, and it's on TNT Friday at 7:20, and then Gonzaga, North Dakota State. I mean, I got Gonzaga big. I mean, really big. I got Gonzaga dominating that game.
All right, so that leads us to I have Davidson in Iowa as well, and Gonzaga Davidson, just a really fun idea of a second round.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. I've got Gonzaga winning. But that could be an absolute blast, and I do hope that we get to see that game.
Okay, that leads us to Iowa State, UCLA.
Yeah, Iowa State with a little bit of trouble, but ultimately, I think that they will end up covering if that is the game that ends up playing. I think whatever the line is, Iowa State will cover.
Then you have Georgetown, Stephen F. Austin.
Yeah, and I'm going with the Lumberjacks. Listen, a double-digit seed makes the second weekend every year. Okay, yeah. This is my only pick. In many years, we have more than one, so this might be an obvious pick to get into the second weekend, but it's the one that I'm going with. It's kind of a blend of, okay, Georgetown has underperformed, hasn't made a second weekend since 2007. Stephen F. Austin looks really good and should be a second weekend kind of team, so why not?
And I have Utah over Georgetown. Do you have Duke over San Diego State?
I have Duke easily getting by San Diego State.
Okay, Duke, Stephen F. Austin, which seems like there would be some rooting interest in the national scope in that game.
Yeah, that would be a heck of a game. That would be a Sunday game. That would probably be the first Sunday game. That would be the second weekend. I'm getting ahead of myself. So I'm taking Duke there. Just as a side note, Jahlil Okafor is not going to win Player of the Year. Kaminsky locked it up with how Wisconsin won the Big Ten title. But let's just prepare ourselves for Okafor to be nasty in the tournament. I think he's going to just wreck shop in this region.
And then Iowa State, Gonzaga.
Yeah, this took me longer than any other Sweet 16 game that I had to pick. I went with Iowa State, not nuts about it. With Gonzaga, I'm almost like, just prove me wrong. Like, I've picked you to a Final Four a lot, three or four times in the past, and it hasn't happened. I would love to be wrong. I would love to see Gonzaga in Indianapolis this year. But I go Fred Hoiberg, cool under pressure. He's just a boss. I think Gonzaga is the better team, but I'm going Iowa State.
All right, and then Iowa State, Duke.
Duke. Yes. Tyus Jones, a point guard, is so heady, so stable, just hits big shots. The Duke isn't deep, but they've only lost one game since they lost Rashid Suleiman. I can't not pick them in this region.
All right, so I also have Duke. So we have two Final Four teams in common, okay. Kentucky and Duke. So let's go to our respective Final Fours. You have Kentucky against Arizona.
Yep, and I went with Kentucky, but I did think about Arizona for a good long while. But I had to go with the Wildcats for reasons we've discussed right here. Willie Cauley-Stein is just superb. But here's the thing that I think people are going to get enamored with Kentucky is that they're going to go with being enamored with Cauley-Stein to Towns. Oh, wait, Aaron Harrison just got hot. Oh, who's that little dude? Oh, Tyler Ulis. Yeah, he's freaking awesome. So just too much on the floor. Arizona can win that game, but I'm going with Calipari.
All right, and I have Kentucky over Wisconsin, again, probably in very heartbreaking, sad fashion. Villanova Duke.
Just as a side note, I talked with coaches. They think Wisconsin is best equipped to beat Kentucky more than any other team. Duke, I've got Duke winning against Villanova. I think Duke is a really bad matchup for Villanova, the worst matchup for them outside of Kentucky. So, and this is kind of like wishful thinking because back in November, people were clamoring, give us Kentucky Duke in the NCAA tournament. The only way that we can get to that is if they meet in the title game, and that's what I have.
Awesome. Awesome. All right. So I have Virginia over Duke. I got Virginia fever, man.
You got Virginia getting the revenge win.
Yes.
In the game that matters, the Hoos. Okay.
So, and you've got, but then in the national championship game, I can't not pick Kentucky.
Neither can I. They are so favored. Like, they can lose, Will.
Yeah,
they
I know.
Can lose.
I saw them almost do it.
They can freaking lose, but I just cannot bring myself to do it here. I hate that, you know, I'm going along with what everyone's going to have because it makes it a little less fun when you don't have a lot of variety among a national title pick. But with what we've seen, I would rather be wrong and be surprised than, I guess, be right and not. I don't know. But, yeah, so we both got Kentucky cutting down the nets. And then, by the way, if that happens, 40-0, people will talk about whether it's the best college team ever or whatever. I don't know if they will be. Well, that's for down the road. But it will be just an unreal accomplishment and a realization for John Calipari and something that he has long desired. I mean, this is like the ultimate drop a mic moment. So this means a tremendous amount to him. He's dying to get it. I don't think he'll ever get closer than he is now with this team. And it's going to be a massive story. Beyond sports, it's going to be a huge story. Kentucky's undefeated. It's great for the sport. And whether you hate Calipari and Kentucky, it doesn't matter. You hate them. You're invested. They're polarizing. You're going to want to watch them when they're on, no matter who they're playing, because you can't help but watch when, you know, possible history is being made.
Yeah, I argued in a column earlier this year that, like, this is – like, if there was a team that was going to beat that Indiana – contrast the way we thought of college basketball when Indiana and Bob Knight were going undefeated and the way we think about it now if John Calipari and Kentucky going undefeated, I argue it's actually a positive evolution for the game and, frankly, more honest and better for the students. So that's my
So, all right, good deal.
We're gonna do an NIT real fast. We're gonna do it real fast. I promise.
Okay, before we do it, so since we're both gonna be at the Final Four,
yes.
Loser has to buy the other person like a drink or something or whatever.
Tequila shots, obviously.
Okay, yes. You know, whatever it is. Yes. Let's have something behind this here.
Of course, it's on.
Okay, let's you just read them off.
Read them off.
Okay, so I'm going to do this the same way I did. Like, I tweeted it out last night, but I didn't really look at it. So I think I did this last year. I did not even look at the bracket.
Yeah, we're don't worry about the bracket. No, I'm just going to give you matchups. That's all we're doing.
Let's go.
All right. Bucknell at Temple.
Temple.
I also have Temple. Sorry. I'll just fill mine out later and don't.
Let's get both picks on the record.
Okay. George Washington at Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh.
I have George Washington. I have George Washington. All right.
Pittsburgh, yeah, okay.
Central Michigan at Louisiana Tech.
La Tech.
I also have La Tech. Montana at Texas A&M.
A&M?
I have Montana.
Okay.
All right. St. Francis, Brooklyn at Richmond.
Oh.
You're tempted.
Richmond.
Yeah, I was tempted as well, but also took Richmond. Arizona State at UConn.
That's weird as hell. Oh, gosh. Arizona State.
All right. I took UConn. All right. This is actually should be Alabama at Illinois, but it is, in fact, Illinois at Alabama.
Because Alabama doesn't have – give me Illinois. Alabama doesn't have a coach.
Yeah, but Illinois doesn't have a stadium. So it catches the fever. Okay. I also have Illinois. Not surprisingly. North Carolina Central at Miami of Florida.
Oh, that's a really good game. Give me Miami, but that's a really good game.
Yeah, I'm going to go if North Carolina Central wins that game and Illinois goes, because that will be at, because I love it when big schools play at small schools, like when Illinois played at Holy Cross or when Kentucky played at Robert Morris. I love it when that happens. So hopefully,
yes.
So
would be awesome.
I'm not going to travel the Alabama game, but I will travel to the North Carolina Central game. South Dakota State at Colorado State.
Colorado State, but that could be sneaky close.
I also have Colorado State. Vanderbilt at St. Mary's.
Ooh. Vandy.
I also have Vanderbilt. Okay. Iona at Rhode Island.
Oh, that's a great game.
In IT Fever, catch it.
Yeah, that is a... Iona at Rhode Island?
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
I love that we do this every year. I also picked Iona. All right. UC Davis at Stanford.
Keeping it Cali. Stanford.
Yes, I also have Stanford. Charleston Southern at Old Dominion.
Old Dominion.
Green Bay at Illinois State.
Wow, is that a good game. Oh, man. Green Bay coach Brian Wardle. If they went on like a run, maybe he'd be up for the DePaul job, I wonder. Actually, both Dan Mueller could be up for the DePaul job, who coaches Illinois State. That's at Illinois State?
It is at Illinois
State. Man, that is a tough... gosh, that is unfair. That is an unfair...
That is so imagine unfair what, imagine to... what he was like with NCAA games, folks.
Oh, I had to call the desk. It was not good. It was not good. Okay. Give me Green Bay, and I'm not happy about it.
I took Green Bay as well. All right, UTEP at Murray State.
I was about to say, we haven't gotten to Murray State yet. Give me Murray State there.
I have Murray State as well. And William and Mary at Tulsa.
Oh. Bill and Mary.
I also have William and Mary.
Man!
That was my fun one. All right. All right, here we go. Next up, you have Pittsburgh at Temple.
Temple.
I have George Washington at Temple, and I also have Temple. You have Louisiana Tech at Texas A&M.
Louisiana Tech.
I have Montana at Louisiana Tech, and that's at Louisiana Tech. You have Arizona State at Richmond.
Do I? Give me the Spiders.
Richmond. I have Connecticut at Richmond, and I'm taking UConn. I want old CCNY days where the teams win in the NCAA tournament in the NIT the next year.
Awesome.
You have Illinois at Miami.
Oh man, Miami.
Yeah, I've watched Illinois lose at Miami already once this year. I don't need to do it again. I also have Miami of Florida. Vanderbilt at Colorado State.
Colorado State.
I also have Colorado State. You have Iona at Stanford.
Man, they're going to have to fly across the country?
Yeah, that's
Stanford.
I'm sure all the rich Iona alums will take care of that for them. That is, I also have Stanford. Green Bay at ODU.
Green Bay.
I also have Green Bay. You monster. And then Murray State at Tulsa.
Murray, present. Present in the, what would this be, the Elite Eight of the NIT at this point?
Yes, it would be the Elite Eight. You have Murray State.
Yes.
Yeah, me too. I want them to just storm this, actually. All right, next is Louisiana Tech at Temple for both of us.
Oh, man. Louisiana Tech.
I have Temple, so that feels like a pivotal matchup. Pivotal. Miami, you have Miami of Florida at Richmond.
Oh, man. Richmond.
I have UConn at Miami of Florida, and I'm taking Miami of Florida.
Okay.
All right. We both have Stanford at Colorado State.
Oh, God. Stanford at Colorado State. Give me the Rams.
All right. I also have the Rams. And Green Bay at Murray State.
That is superb. Please give us that game. Kiefer Sykes, Cameron Payne, please give us that game. Man. All right, I'll go Murray.
I also have Murray in the exact same matchup to the storied Madison Square Garden. You have Richmond against Louisiana Tech.
Richmond.
And I have Temple against Miami, and I'm picking Temple. And we both have Colorado State against Murray State.
Yeah, I'm going to go Colorado State.
All right, I am obviously picking Murray State. You monster. So in your championship game, you have Richmond and Colorado State, which should, you know, obviously be a
reason. Those are one seeds too, aren't they? I was a snore there. I took 2-1 seeds.
That's okay. We are literally the only two people doing this.
Oh, my gosh. To anyone still listening, we love you all. I will take Larry Eustachy to win the NIT title.
All right. And I will take Murray State, baby.
That would be a great story.
Murray State, bless his heart.
And it would probably be the last game Steve Prohm coaches at Murray State.
All right, so you have Colorado State, I have Murray State, that's our NRT bracket. So we're going to wrap this up. Thank you, Matt. We'll do the trivia in a second, but thank you for indulging me as always. This has become one of my favorite traditions, so thanks for playing along.
Dude, I love this podcast. Thanks for having me, and let's have me just totally vomit all over this trivia right now.
All right, well, thank you to Matt Norlander. You can follow him on Twitter at Matt Norlander, MattNorlander, and of course find his work on CBSSports.com. This is a Village Experience podcast, music for the Sundogs. Please rate and review us on iTunes. We will be back on Wednesday, I believe, Thursday, right before the tournament starts with trivia. This will be going now. Take care. I'll talk to you then.